pronounce of people that are only mentioned once in the Bible, and what's the point of even reading this? You can easily think that way to yourself when you read this type of thing. And some of them are only mentioned once. Artemis and Zenas, who are mentioned here in Titus, it's the only place where their names come up in the New Testament. We know nothing about them other than a little bits of church tradition. And I think Artemis, if I remember correctly from my studies, was the tradition says he went on to become the bishop of Crete, which is where Titus was. So Paul sent him to replace Titus, and he must have stayed and become the sort of the person in charge of the church in Crete. So that's an important thing. But that's all we know about him from the Bible, is this one mention in this one verse. And sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that these were real people who had real impacts. And their impact might not be evident to us from Scripture. And it's interesting to me, as I started thinking about this, we often think of Paul as the evangelist, like the apostle to the Gentiles, which he was. But Paul was not, very much not, a one-man show. And so I started looking through Scripture, and I want to show you a list of the people. We're just going to quickly read their names, and you don't have to know anything about them or what their roles were, but I want you to get a picture of just how big a team was required for Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
These are just the names we know.
And these are just the names we know from Scripture. We don't know how many more never got mentioned in Scripture. So, some of Paul's co-workers and traveling companions. Barnabas, mentioned in Acts 13, 2. John Mark, who was with them as their helper in Acts 13, 5. Later on Paul's second missionary journey, he joined up with Silas in Acts 15, 40. And he and Silas later added Timothy to their team in Acts 16, 1-3. That's described. Luke is never actually named, but it's interesting because we know, or believe we know, that Luke wrote the book of Acts. And suddenly the narrative changes from they to we, so we kind of figure he joined the team somewhere around Acts 16:10 when it suddenly changes to we did this. Priscilla and Aquila worked alongside Paul as tent makers, and later were, we believe, also in ministry work. Erastus is mentioned in Acts 19:22. Gaius is mentioned in Acts 19:29. Aristarchus also in Acts 19:29. Sopater, Secundus, Tychicus, and Trophimus are all mentioned as traveling along with Paul in Acts 20, verse 4. Tychicus is actually kind of a favorite of ours because we often see him mentioned in other places in Scripture as being the one whom Paul is sending back to tell the church how he's doing. It's like he was we like to joke he was Paul's Facebook status updater. He handled the social media side of Paul's ministry. So we kind of see some parallels to some of the stuff we do. Going on, some of the others. Apollos is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16:12 as being a co-worker of Paul. And he's also, Paul at one point in Scripture gives instructions to receive him because he's sending him to do something. So he was a colleague. When he's first introduced in Acts, he wasn't, but he became so. Titus is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, as being someone that Paul was sending. So clearly a colleague who worked under Paul. In Philippians 4, 3, there are three more mentioned, Euodia, Syntyche. These are both women working alongside Paul. And Clement is also mentioned in that verse as being a co-laborer of Paul. Epaphras is mentioned in Colossians 1, verse 7. Onesimus in Colossians 4, verse 9. Jesus, also called Justice, in Colossians 4, 11. Demas in Colossians 4, 14. Archippus in 4, 17. Crescens mentioned in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. And then here in Titus, the passage we're looking at, we see for the first time and only time Artemis and Zenas the lawyer. And then in Philippians, we see Archippus. 28 different people working alongside Paul, traveling with him at various times. That's a big team. And not only were there people who were traveling with him, let's go on to the next little bit. There's a number of people mentioned as being Paul's hosts, the people who put him up while he was in places, who accommodated him, or who sent support to him. And some of those are mentioned by name very clearly in Scripture. So here they are, Lydia in Acts 16, verse 15, who persuaded them to come to her house. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She wanted the privilege of hosting them. Jason in Acts 17, verse 7. Titius Justus in Acts 18. Tyrannus, whose lecture hall Paul rented, or maybe was given, we don't know. But he was a host of Paul's ministry place. Philip in Acts 21. Manassen in Acts 21. Publius in Acts 28. Stephanus, Fortunus, and Achaicus are mentioned as having brought provisions from Corinth to Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 17. Now, we don't know if this was their own personal gifts or if they were bringing, they were the messengers sent by the church. But either way, they were part of the support team there. Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy was mentioned as being very useful to Paul. And Philemon, who is mentioned as having been a partner in the work when Paul writes to him in Philemon. So some of the supporters and hosts. And then, in at least two cases, we see references to the people who wrote the books that Paul's name is on. These were the scribes that worked alongside him in writing the book of Romans, Tertius, and the book of Corinthians, Sosthenes. So these were trusted colleagues who did the secretarial work for Paul, right? Do you get a picture that there's much more to missions than a one-man show? So some of the things, and these are just the things we can get very good glimpses of from Scripture, that all of these different people were doing with or for Paul. Obviously, some of them were evangelists and church planters. They worked alongside Paul in that way. Some of them were helpers. That's a very broad, encompassing role, as we know. Can mean a lot of things. Teachers, you know, Timothy and Titus told, you know, teach these things to the church that you're sent to. And church governance, people who were sent to administer and help to set up church. Messengers who were sent back and forth between Paul and the churches. Tychicus is mentioned in that role a few times, as we mentioned. Logistics support, collecting and bringing financial support and clothing and reading materials. All these things are mentioned in Scripture. People who made the travel arrangements. I think in the book of Acts there's mention of people going on ahead and they're the ones, you know, setting up the boat reservations. Housing hosts, people who had Paul stay and his team stay in their house. Ministry space host, as I said, the lecture hall of Tyrannus, where Paul ministered for 2 years, right? How did he get that hall? Well, we don't know. Maybe he rented it, but maybe it was a gift to him. The scribes who helped him to write his letters. Financial accountability reporter, and this is an interesting one to me. This is actually a role that Titus, I believe, helped fill. It's mentioned in Corinthians because Paul wanted the church to know that the funds that were given were being administered properly, and so he had other people coming along. So it wasn't just him looking after this gift that was going to the church in Jerusalem. Financial accountability, very important in ministries. Encouragers and givers. I mean, that's a big list of roles that people need to play in order to have Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. So missions is very much a team sport. It takes a lot of players. And that's it's kind of a good introduction to what I wanted to talk about in terms of our ministry, because we're part of that team. And so I want to tell you a little bit about the mission we serve with, which is SIM. And SIM is an international, interdenominational mission. Last year, it celebrated its 125th anniversary, and we had the great privilege and pleasure of being part of the Global Assembly that was held by SIM. which was held in the Johannesburg area, right where we were living, about 20 minutes away from our home. And so we were on staff for that. So 125 years old, the organization was last year, 126 now. And SIM has over 4,000 workers from more than 60 different nationalities who are working around the world in over 70 different countries. And throughout its history, SIM has sent out over 12,000 people. So it's been a big player in the missions world. Now, this one I added in because I'm speaking in Alliance Church. At that global assembly, there was a history being published of SIM, and Carmen spotted it and brought it to my attention, and I was really delighted to realize the tie to the Alliance. All three of the original founders of SIM were graduates of A.B. Simpson. Does that name sound familiar to you, Alliance folks? His New York Missionary Training Institute. So they were part of the same thrust of missions that helped get the Alliance started.
They were 21, 23, and 24 when they went out alone.
Yeah. So that's that youth zeal that is so exciting to see. So SIM's purpose statement, I'm just going to quickly go through this. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to read it to you. SIM's purpose statement says, "Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Therefore, compelled by God's great love and empowered by his Holy Spirit, we cross barriers to proclaim the crucified and risen Christ, expressing his love and compassion among those who live and die without him. We make disciples who will trust and obey Jesus and will become part of Christ-centered churches. We work together with churches to fulfill God's mission across cultures, locally and globally, and we facilitate participation in cross-cultural ministry by those whom God is calling." That's the purpose statement for SIM. And that's the organization that we've joined. And been part of now for, 2 years of active ministry in South Africa, but we've been part of the organization a lot longer as we prepared to go, and now that we're back on home assignment. So we are Brian Orthner, and you know my parents well, Nelson and Ruth, and my wife, Carmen.
Carmen Paulus Orthner, and our daughter, Sarah.
You want to come up for a second, Sarah?
We just normally have cat ears.
And as you can see, we all dressed up in our South African finery this morning because we have been serving in the Southern Africa Service Center, which is based in Germiston, which is part of the metropolitan Johannesburg area in South Africa. And we were there from January 2017 up until December 2018. So we have now been back in Canada for about 8 months. We work with the Southern Africa region, which includes the countries of Angola, Namibia. She's going to see if I can do it by memory. Angola, Namibia, Botswana, Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Madagascar, Mauritius, and Reunion. Some of those are very small fields in terms of number of missionaries. I think we have like one missionary currently in Botswana, for instance, and one in Mauritius. So these are very small fields in terms of the number of missionaries that we support, which is one reason why the support is being done out of a regional center rather than in-country. And we're currently on home assignment and living in Regina. So that's where we're based. And a little bit about what we do in terms of our formal job roles with the mission. I work in IT. And so I support missionaries in Southern Africa through the computer help desk service, through consultations. I give missionaries assistance as well in ordering parts and supplies because I can give them advice about what they should look for, and I can help them find it. South Africa is a very developed country with ready access to things like IT supplies. Many of the other countries that we support are not. It's much harder to get stuff there. And so for them, it makes a lot of sense to have me buy what they need and send it to them. So that's my basic role. Okay, and Here's my next exciting slide. Not much to see. And this is part of why I'm needed on the mission field, because sometimes things go wrong and you can't figure out what's going on. Why have I got no slide here? Well, of course, in this case, I put it in intentionally as a black screen. But if you're a missionary and you're, you know, getting ready to do your presentation and suddenly your screen goes black, who do you call? What do you do to try and figure out, okay, how do I do what I need to do? They need to have a person that they can call on. It can be really discouraging for missionaries who have to deal with computer problems, because, I mean, many of them are honestly quite computer savvy, but many aren't as well. And so that's my role, to help come alongside them. And then I'll let Carmen talk about her role.
My background is as a professional journalist, so I brought that skill set to my role in Southern Africa, doing media support work for our missionaries and for our service center, primarily sending out newsletters from our service center, helping the missionaries when they had communication issues, as well as beginning a ministry of telling stories that missionaries are involved in a lot of work, but they don't have the time or skill set to share that. And often their stories are the ones that are the most important. It's the people who are actually being impacted by their work that I want to hear from as well. So, and I think that there's a really important work to be done in that.
Right. So this next slide, I'm sure makes much sense to you as you look at it.
Well, if you happen to be from Brazil or Portugal,
This particular slide is written in Portuguese, and if you're like me, it makes zero sense to you when you look at it. You might be able to guess one or two words just because they sort of look similar to something in English, especially amante, difficile. I mean, I can sort of guess what those might be, but I'm just guessing.
Presenting a clear message can be very difficult if it's not the language you're supposed to be working in is not your first language. I had the opportunity to work with two women in Angola, one an Angola national, the other a nurse from the Netherlands. Petra's first language is Dutch. Her colleague, his name has just slipped out of my head, her first language is Portuguese. And they're required to write funding proposals and reports in English. And I was contacted by Petra saying, help, because I don't know how to communicate effectively the message that I need to convey or to report back, but also to look for other funding sources outside of SIM. So, and one of my sort of heyday moments, I guess you could say, was when she said, this is exactly what I wanted to say, but didn't have the words for. And that's my job, is to help them find the words.
Right. So we, just to give you an idea of who we work alongside, we've been able to work alongside many missionaries in the last 2 weeks. Remember I said missions is, the last 2 years, excuse me. Missions is a team sport. And so this is the team that we worked with in our local office. So going from the left, Dave Stewart is a South African who's retired and given his talents to the financial administration that's needed for the mission. Next to him is Daniel Hopley, who is the service manager. He's also South African. Dave is an employee of the mission, but Daniel is actually a missionary who raises his own support in much the same way that we do. But he's assigned to a missions role in his own country of South Africa. Still, it's different for him because he's from Cape Town and this is Johannesburg, so different culture, different, lots of differences. Next to him is Happy Maloko, who is previously been a professor of accounting at a local college, and she's also somewhat retired and enjoying the much lower stress of working in a small missions organization doing financial support. Next to her is Lisa Labashkagni. We keep wanting to say Labashane because her name is French in origin, but it's pronounced in an Afrikaans way. So these cultural blendings take interesting twists as you go. And she works as the local guest house and logistics coordinator. So she coordinates the guest house and making sure it's ready for missionaries, and also the transportation needs with the vehicles that are owned by the mission and available for visiting missionaries to use. And also helps with ordering things that missionaries in the field need. And next to her is Fumani, our treasurer.
Well, and her daughter, that's Lisa's daughter.
Yeah, and Lisa's daughter in front of her with Sarah. But behind them is Fumani, our treasurer, who's also a local South African employee who works for the mission and does the heads up the financial administration. And then me, and of course Carmen's not in the picture because Carmen was taking the picture. And then we won't go through who everybody is because it would take rather a long time. But this is the this picture was taken at our South African field conference. So these are all the other missionaries who are based in South Africa, as well as some of the staff who work for the mission in South Africa. And this is a picture of the field conference in Zambia, which we had the privilege of being able to attend and work alongside with some of the missionaries who are working in Zambia at some of the ministries there. So you can see, big teams, right? As we've thought about what our ministry involves, we've really realized that there's always an official part of your ministry and an unofficial part of your ministry. And a lot of our ministry, both the official and the unofficial side, revolves around the ministry of encouragement. And so that was one of the themes that I wanted to highlight and just challenge you all with. And give you some scripture verses around that theme of encouragement. And as I studied this and developed this message originally a few months ago, I found out that the word encourage in Greek is actually related to the word paraclete, which is often used to refer to the Holy Spirit. It's the one who comes alongside. And encourage is, in Greek, is the verb form of that. It's the coming alongside. And that's what we've done with missionaries, is we've come alongside them. And so some verses. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Here's Tychicus, one of our favorite lesser-known Bible characters. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that's we, the mission team, Paul and his companions, and that he may encourage you, right? So even back in Bible times, there was an important encouragement role in missions newsletters, or in this case, missions reports. 2 Corinthians, God who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. There's our character from the series we've just been doing, right? And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. Now, that word comfort, same word in Greek. It's encourage, coming alongside, comforting. It's same thing. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Let me tell you something as a missionary who's been on the field. There are times when you are discouraged. There are times when you're deeply discouraged. And what you want more than anything is to hear from the people back home and hear something encouraging from them. Even if it's just, we're praying for you, we understand, you know, things are tough for you right now, and we're there with you. just knowing that somebody cares about what you're going through is hugely encouraging. Do that for your missionaries, please. When they send out a newsletter, they will have worked on it. Often it will have been a frustrating thing to, you know, get away from the regular work they're doing to take the time to write a newsletter. And when they send out a newsletter to 300 people and not one responds, wow, is that discouraging. When you get one of those newsletters from your missionary, pick up your pen or your keyboard and just write a quick response. Hey, I read your newsletter. I'm so thrilled to hear what God is doing in your ministry. Hey, I'm so sorry to hear about the challenges that are facing you. We'll be praying for you. It means the world to your missionaries. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That spur one another on, guess what? Same word in Greek. It's the encourage, the coming alongside. So encouragement can be walking alongside someone. Sometimes that's all you can do, right? There are situations where you really can't do anything to change the situation someone's in, but you can walk alongside with them and you can share their emotions and be a listening ear and an arm around their shoulder and just say, you know, I'm there with you. I feel what you're feeling and I will carry that emotional burden with you. Can be comforting someone in their sorrow or discouragement. And sometimes we have a perspective that they don't have because they're in the middle of whatever it is that's discouraging them. And we can give them comfort from giving them advice from a different perspective and helping them to see something different. And you know what? The biggest thing, honestly, is to remain aware of what God is doing in a situation, because it's when we take our eyes off God and what His purposes are that the discouragement is the deepest. And sometimes we need someone else to come along and say, yeah, things are tough right now, but God. Remember what I said last week about the gospel, right? Here's the diagnosis, here's the prognosis, and it's bad, but God, right? Two best words in Scripture, but God. And sometimes that's what we need to do for other people, is come alongside them and say, but God. Okay, how else can we encourage? Affirming someone in their calling or gifting, right? That can mean a lot to someone when you come to them and say, you know what? I see the way you lead worship every week, or you know, maybe 2 weeks a month or 1 week a month. But I see when you lead worship, and I just want to tell you, it's really meaningful, right? I see the Lord working through you, and He really uses your worship leading to encourage me. Wow, what a way to build someone up. And how much does that mean to that person who may never hear those words of encouragement? Especially for the people who are in the less high-profile roles, right? Your worship leader probably gets people telling them, you know, I really liked the worship this morning. But how many people go to the person who cleans the church and say, you know, it really means a lot to me to walk in and see that the church is so neat and tidy. I really appreciate what you do. Affirm someone in their calling or gifting. Encouragement can be advocating for someone. You know, this is a really big one for us as missionaries. As you'll hear, we're trying to raise support so that we can go back to South Africa. If we're limited to just the people we can talk to, it's going to take a long time to get there. But if we have other people saying, you know, I know this couple and they really have a heart for missions and it would be great if you could come alongside and help support them. Or it would be great if we could have them come and speak to our church. That's the type of advocates that make a huge difference in the possibility for us of getting back to South Africa where we believe the Lord has called us. Spurring one another on to love and good works. I mean, sometimes we just need somebody else to get the boot behind us in the butt and get us into gear, right? And that can be a real ministry of encouragement. And as I said, drawing someone's attention back to God. It's always the but God. And when someone starts to lose sight of what God is doing and what God's purposes may be and whatever it is they're going through, whether good or bad, That's an important and critical role, because remember what that verse said, encourage one another daily. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And sin wants to tell us that God isn't in this situation. He has no purpose in it. That's what sin wants to deceive us about. But we know differently. God is in the situation. God does have a purpose. And sometimes we need fellow believers to come alongside us and tell us that and help us to believe it again. So, that's encouragement. And that's the challenge I leave you in terms of encouragement. It's a really important ministry. There are very few things in Scripture that we're told to do daily, but this is one of them. So, how can you pray for us in our ministry? How can you be part of our ministry? Well, you can pray with us for new financial partners. I mean, we have a huge mountain to climb in terms of getting back. We went out under-supported, and only the fact that some people had faithfully given for 5 years waiting for us to go allowed us to go at all. But we can't return based on that built-up capital because it's gone. So we need people to commit to ongoing support for us if we're going to return to South Africa. And we figure that in order to return and do the work that God's called us to do, which involves some travel that's expensive, we're going to need something like $6,000 a month in new support. You know, that's a big challenge for us. Yeah. Right, and that money doesn't just go to us. I mean, one of the things with the mission world that a lot of people don't understand is that the missionaries in an organization like ours who are on the field doing work have to give money to support the central offices that support them. And so of our mission budget, something like 20% of what we get goes to the different offices that we work with, the Canadian office, the international office, the South African office, our regional office in Johannesburg, right? Each of them takes a little piece of the money that comes in. So it's not that we need $6,000, it's that the organization needs $6,000 in order to function. And so our prayer is 200 new financial supporters, right? Because we figure if we have 200 people averaging $1 a day, $30 a month, that's $6,000, right? So join us in praying for that. If you want to be one of those 200 people, please talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about that. Pray for God to go before us as we reach out to churches and to individuals to present our work and ask them to partner with us. This is a verse that was brought to my attention at a Sunday school class in Regina, where they were talking about money. That was a fun topic. But in Exodus, the Israelites did as Moses instructed, and they asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. This was right before they left at the Exodus, right? Go to your neighbors and ask them to give you gold. Go to your neighbors and ask them to give you silver. Go to your neighbors and ask them to give you clothing. I mean, that's a very bold ask, isn't it? Especially for a bunch of slaves, basically. And yet, it says in Scripture, the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. That's a challenge to me. Sometimes it's really easy to be timid in our asks, right? To think that the Lord doesn't care enough about what we do to make people favorably disposed, so I really can't ask them for support. And so the Lord's really challenging me on that. Ask, right? Seek and ye shall find, ask and ye shall receive. Because the Lord goes before and the Lord makes the people favorably disposed. But we need people to pray that that will be the case, that as we go and as we ask, that people will be favorably disposed. That's God's part, is changing the heart. All we can do as missionaries is ask. What happens after that is entirely up to the Lord and the way he's working in the hearts of the people we talk to. So So pray for advocates who can help us find the people that we can share our ministry with in new settings. Just to give you one example of this, when I was at the quiz meet, we were invited to come and have a booth and talk about the work of our work with SIM at the final quiz meet, which happened at Briarcrest in May. And while we were there, I ended up talking with a couple who had previously served in SIM, and we had met them a few years ago. And she was telling us that her parents' church in Gull Lake had no pastor at the moment, and so she suggested that, hey, maybe you should contact them. They might like to have a guest speaker. And so we did, and we spoke there in July. And now we're invited to come back in October for their missions banquet. And that happened because somebody advocated for us. And pray for encouragers who can help us stay centered on what God is doing through our journey. It can be really discouraging. We fell in love with Africa, South Africa. We were there for 2 years, and we would go back in a heartbeat. There's lots of problems there, and we're not blind to them. We've seen them all, but we still love the place. I think God's really given us a passion for that country and for the people of that country. And we want to be there, and we know we're wanted there. We still hear regularly from colleagues asking us when we'll be able to come back, and we can't tell them. That kind of hurts. That's discouraging for us. So pray for the encouragers who can help us stay centered on what God is doing through their journey. Because we're not just back here in Canada because God can't get us to South Africa. That's not the reason we're here right now. We don't know all of the reasons we're here right now, but one of the reasons is so we can encourage the church by what our journey has been and what God is doing in South Africa and through our ministry. I mean, we had the opportunities there to see some really amazing things that God is doing, going to the Missions Invest Africa conference, because the missions force of the future of the church is not going to come largely from North America or Europe. It's going to come from the global south, from South America, from Africa, from Asia. Korea is becoming a missions powerhouse. I just read not too long ago that there are now more Christians in Africa than there are in North America. Did you know that? And so it was exciting for us to see how God is working, how God is raising up a new mission force in Africa, and how God is inspiring the hearts of business leaders in Africa to start thinking about how they can support that new mission force. Wow. Exciting stuff to see, and we got to be there to see it. And now we can share that with you and encourage you that God is at work in the world. So, that's what we wanted to share. And as I said, contact us. We love to hear from people. We love to get the encouragement of knowing that in some way what we spoke about, what we shared is been used by God to encourage people, that God is moving in people's hearts and they want to commit to praying for us, that they want to come alongside us as financial partners, that they want to get and read and respond to our prayer letters. So please ask us about that. We'd love to put you on our list of people who get our prayer letters. And there's prayer cards in the back. And, you know, if you're interested in a personal visit so you can hear even more about what we experienced and what we saw of what God is doing in South Africa, like our visit to the orphanage, please talk to us. We're happy to visit. We're, for some odd reason, we're in this area fairly regularly. And so we'll be back. And we'd be happy to visit when we're back. And we'd even be happy to visit with people by phone or by video call. We did a lot of that in the mission world, and still do. I'm regularly on video call back to Africa to continue to provide IT support for people as things come up that they need my knowledge on. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk further. And I hope that the Lord has encouraged you through what I've had to share this morning, and I hope that the Lord will spur you on to be an encouragement, especially to your missionaries, both those who work for you in the Alliance and those who are connected with you in other organizations. So, thank you.
Ryan, and up here, Carmen and Sarah, can we just pray for you? I was trying to jot some notes down there, some encouragers, advocates, 200 supporters. What else was I missing? I missed that first slide. Is that about it?
No,
encouragers,
that's
advocates.
The key ones.
That was the key ones? All right. Perfect. And like Brian said, by all means, take advantage of them being here. Ask some questions, talk about things, seeing how we can support them. Grab some prayer cards, grab some support.